time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, yes. Back in the building. Ali is away. And you know what? To speak to that, because I don't want to just rush past that. I want to let you know that, you know, I've been seeing the concern and the questions regarding Ali, and I don't want y'all to think that I'm ignoring you or anything like that. I just want to let you know that at the current moment, Ali is focusing on his health and wellness, and he will be back when he's back, you know? And, put good energy out for that man, you know? He'll be back on the mic soon. But in the meantime, it's you and I. And it might, you know, we might have a couple people, you know, guest here and there. But, you know, as we approach the end of 2025, I just want to kind of, you know, give you as much information as I could. And, I appreciate everybody reaching out that has, you know what I'm saying? So that's that. That's what we got for right now. All right. There you go. Y'all good? How y'all been? You chilling? Okay. All right. That's what's up. Yeah. Now, we're going to talk about that in a second. But, yeah, now that's what's up. Good to hear from you. Good to see you. Glad y'all around. The conversationalists. We all community. We all community. So I don't take it lightly. The fact that, you know, y'all listen to us ramble and hit tangents and, you know, share dispatches from our life. It is greatly appreciated. Always engage when y'all, you know, comment and all of that. You know what I mean? And shit. Honestly, if we ain't got nothing, man, we need community. Community is, I mean, we're going to need community from now on. And not even from now on, but from the very beginning to the very end. You know, we not in this alone. Regardless of how you feel, we are all interconnected. Even them people you don't fuck with like that. You know what I'm saying? We are the society of people, as my good peoples used to say. You know? So anyway, shit. With that said, what's going on with the kid, man? I'm chilling. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm chilling. Been doing, you know, regular shit, doing shows in the world. I don't know if I've done anything super, super exciting that I could think of off the top of that I could think of. Nah. I'm picking up the camera a lot, you know, just on my photography shit. I think I'm gonna start sharing some more of these photos and things of that nature, because I do enjoy doing that. I do like, you know, shooting the camera. You know what I mean? It's been good. But the fuck is going on, man? You know, and speaking of, okay, just based on what I was saying as far as community, right? I've been having a lot of conversations in the last few weeks with good friends of mine and just friends of mine, you know, like great friends of mine, and then just people I'm colleagues with, I work with, just people I come across, you know, and like, you know, it's something to pour into one another. You know what I'm saying? Like to really encourage people, you know, that shit, that don't take nothing away from you. You know what I mean? To make sure that the people that you hold dear or the people that you just engage with that you really respect or, you know, cool with or whatever, like just to speak to the greatness in them. You know, sometimes they might not see it. Sometimes you might not see it. So it's a reciprocal conversation. But like, you know, the language of upliftment is super impactful, super important right now. You know what I mean? So yeah, I was having some good conversations both ways where, you know, it was a lot of pep talks and insightful and, you know, visionary, you know, building. You know what I'm saying? I was about to spit off into some old ancillary woo member. You know what I mean? But yeah, like just have a real talk, man, and just keeping people on their square, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, just being a corner man for the people. Speaking of that, we're speaking. Ain't going to be too much just speaking of that. I mean, you know what it is. It's just us. So it's not like I'm starting a new conversation every topic. But as far as cornermen go, did y'all see this Jake Paul, Anthony Joshua fight on Netflix? Did you see it? Because I saw it. I don't want to say reluctantly. I mean, it was I had a reluctant spirit. I've gone on record saying initially that Jake Paul Tank Davis fight, it was ridiculous. You know, Tank didn't need to do that. He's the prime of his career, and he pulled out. And you know, who knows what it was? It could have been, you know, due to many different things. But you know, he pulled out. Anthony Joshua replaced him kind of in the last minute, especially for like a heavyweight fight. I guess if you're a heavyweight fighter who's held a title before and you're fighting a YouTuber, no disrespect, but I mean, that's still the origin of it all. You find a YouTuber, you could be like, all right, let me go put some boxing shoes on and go get this money. You know what I mean? I don't know what the money was. I didn't even look into the purse, but I'm sure it was nice. But anyway, so when it was announced and I'm seeing all of the, you know, the prelude and the content leading up to the fight, and I knew I'm watching. I'm paying for Netflix. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to watch it. Netflix, you know, listen. Netflix is hit or miss with me, but every so often they're going to throw some shit out there and make you be like, I'm glad I got it. I'm glad I let that shit renew, you know? So, I'm watching the fight. I'm locked in. I'm at the crib, you know, had the night off watching the fight. I guess I watched all of the fights, the full undercard. I watched my man, who knocked out Tyron Woodley? Damn, what's my man's name? I'm a find his name as I'm talking to you, but my man that did, I guess he kind of referenced Roy Jones in the knockout. Anderson Silva, I believe his name is. Yeah, Anderson Silva, famed MMA fighter, like, you know, one of them, like a legend. That's the thing about Jake Paul. You know, everybody recognized that he could draw a crowd, and drawing a crowd is a big deal. You could bring the people out, salute. That's a talent in itself. I mean, it's not a boxing talent. Well, it is, but, you know, like drawing a crowd, bringing an audience, bringing a platform and putting people, key people, people that are actually relevant and important to the fighting landscape. I'll give Jake that. I always say that. I give him that. He's good at platforming. So, you know, Anderson Silva, he got him up there, and Anderson rocked Tyron Woodley. I think Tyron Woodley's been knocked out like 3 times, and it's kind of unfortunate. You know what I mean? It's becoming redundant a little bit. So he got rocked, bing bing, and he did some old, I guess, like the little, he slapped his ankle, or some and one meets boxing meets Roy Jones homage type shit. Caught him with a vicious uppercut, bloop, dropped him, and that was a wrap. Then we had Alicia Baumgartner fighting some woman. Who'd Alicia Baumgartner fight? She fought somebody who she basically had her way with, but it was Layla Boudoun, I believe her name is Layla Boudoun, French woman, I believe. Let me not get, you know, white woman. Think she might be from Europe somewhere. I'm not sure. I'm just going off with the boom doom. She could be from New Orleans. Anyway, Alicia made easy work with her, you know, just like kind of in the spirit of what Mayweather was at his height. Maybe that's a little hyperbolic, but what I'm saying is like a defensive fighter. Not going to do too much. Got the fight in the bag, and let's keep it there. Let's be real Warren Buffett about it. You know, we don't gotta take no crazy risks. Let's just slow and steady. This is 12 rounds, 3 minute rounds. This is like, I think this was her first time doing 12 3 minute rounds, you know. So let's keep some reserve in the tank just in case. Cause homegirl, I'm gonna tell you this. She took a lot of punishment, but she wouldn't go down. She was like Jake LaMotta. Did she go down? She tried to grapple a lot. She did a lot of that, you know, the hugging and all of that. But she was getting rocked, but she kept coming. And Alicia, you know, beep, 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 you know. Shorty caught a couple pieces, but, like, it was all Alicia. She won by majority decision. It was a fine fight. It wasn't, I don't know. Sometimes, and I like Alicia. I've been watching her fights. I've talked about her on the pod before. I like her fights. I like her. I like the shit that she be saying, you know, in her post-fight little interviews and press conferences and things like that. I dig her. I think with women's boxing, I think for me, I'm so used to, and I guess it's for all boxers, to be totally honest with you, I'm so used to the knockout. Like, that's what makes, that's the slam dunk of boxing, the knockout. You know, like, there's great boxing matches where there's no knockout, but they kind of boring to me. You know, yeah, he won on points, so that was great defensive fighting. He's throwing a jab. He's keeping the jab going. He's you know, he's kind of just managing, you know, all of that shit. It's fine. Salute. Y'all got hands, but I love a knockout. Doo-doo! I just love a motherfucker going to sleep, you know? And it's not always that. So it could kind of feel a little underwhelming. So there is that. So that happens. Now, main event, Joshua versus Jake Paul, right? Anthony Joshua versus Jake Paul. First thing first, Joshua got my man. He got Freeway bringing him out, doing what we do, you know? And that's a classic. That's a classic. That's Freeway's Before I Let Go. You know what I mean? That's Freeway Beverly right there. You know, there's like a bit of a, I guess, an inside joke amongst cats in Philly. Like, Freeway going to be everywhere doing that what we do. You know what I mean? But, I mean, the truth of the matter is they paying him too. So he going to pick up that check. You know, but he coming out doing what we do. And what we do is still a banger. You know what I mean? Stomach start getting it. He start coming. You know, I can't even keep going, you know. And my niggas in the squad. Anyway. So he come out. He bring them out. He bring out Anthony Joshua. Okay, back. That's what's up. Okay, cool. I'm already. Even on my town, I was like, it's about to be some bullshit. You know? I'm already still got a little PTSD from the fucking Tyson fight. You know what I'm saying? Seeing Tyson bite his gloves and I don't know, whatever. I don't know if the fix was in. I don't ever want to levy those type of accusations. You know what I mean? But it just kind of tightened me up, right? So I'm like, come on, now. This motherfucker is this is a real motherfucking heavyweight champion. This nigga's like 8'12". You know what I'm saying? Muscles all crazy. Like, this nigga's a specimen. All right, now, if he get knocked down and he take the fall, I'm going to be sick. But I'm already waiting for the bullshit. You know, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. You know, I'm looking at the shoe hanging from the motherfucking lamppost. You know, just, you know what I mean? Just waving in the air. String starting to fucking tear away. This shoe about to fall soon. And it's a heavy shoe. It's like a foamposite. Now it's even heavier than that. It's like a Tim. So it's going to fall. Boom, boom. You're going to feel away. Ah, oh, I knew it. These motherfuckers. Anyway, so they come to the they come to the ring. Now here come old Jake Paul. He got fucking Tekashi 6ix9ine bringing him to the stage. Now, all right. Now I was like, all right. Now y'all really, are y'all trolling there? He got Tekashi bringing him to the stage. And he got a whole Hulk Hogan fit on. Now, you know Hulk Hogan's fucking legacy with the blacks, you know what I mean? Least recent legacy, you know. I mean, early on, Hogan was the shit. I was low-key a Hulkamaniac till he fucking, you know, turned heel on us and started that nigga talk. But anyway, I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Fucking Hulk Hogan. All right, I see all the illusions, you know. I'm like, here we go with the bullshit. A lot of symbolism here. You know, nowadays everything's so charged up right now, like just in the world, that symbolism is not even subtle no more. You just look at everything could be symbolic. Now, y'all, look at this shit. This is some bullshit. I see, you know, fucking Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania. Okay, what you trying to say? So anyway, boom, they get underway. And, you know, there was the talk of if Joshua don't knock him out in the first round, it's a loss. You know what I mean? He's, you know, levels ahead of this cat. He should put him away easy, right? So Joshua is hitting him with some old Rock'em Sock'em robot ass stance and moving, like moving real stiff and robotic, throwing these punches, these fucking punches. When Jake Paul is out of his vicinity, it's like it looks super robotic. It looks like, you know, to me, it looked like a motherfucker sticking to the script, trying to show, well, I threw some punches. Jake Paul ain't really even nowhere near. He just throwing punches out there for no reason. Jake Paul dancing around the ring. Joshua's kind of, you know, following him, but not cutting off the ring, but like chasing him, some cat and mouse type shit. And he kind of tentative to be like literally 6 feet taller. You know what I'm saying? Real tentative and missing, maybe connecting. Nothing crazy, nothing too aggressive that feels like the punches are being pulled. Feel like he not even throwing out the jab with the real velocity that it should have. He just, you know, he's in the motions, you know. And then every so often, Jake Paul would like throw some old Hail Mary ass haymaker and damn near connect. And I'm like, oh, hell no. Please don't let this be this. Don't let this be this. But please don't let this be the bullshit. I'm like, I'm sick. You know what I mean? I'm watching it, but I'm like, hate watching this shit. Gotta like pluribus, but that's a whole nother story. But I'm hate watching this shit. But anyway, round one goes. Then round two goes. More the same. After a while, looked like Joshua's starting to connect a little bit. Nothing crazy. Just here and there. Boom, boom. Letting them know. Yeah, I'm connecting. And then what happens is, Jake Paul might throw something that might kind of connect. Nobody doing no crazy damage, but every so often, Jake Paul doesn't do the hug. I guess he's trying to hug, but again, like, Joshua's so much bigger than him. Now he doing the fellatio hug. It's nasty. He on his knees with his arms wrapped around Joshua's waist. It's like, yo, what is going on? Get this motherfucker off me. It's kind of wild. There's a lot of that. It's a lot of please, 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 you know, whatever fuck. But I'm like, is he playing, is this cat and mouse, he playing possum? Is this some coy shit? He gonna hit him with a, you know. Ultimately, I guess we go maybe, I think it's four rounds. I don't know. But I know maybe after the third round, they, you know, you hear the announcers talking and shit. And they, you know, they trying to keep it exciting, but everybody like, all right, well, you know, I think there's a part of it, everybody kind of like, what's going on? Even the ref did some shit that looked a little shady, and I'm like, damn, the ref, this nigga was at the table read, everybody's in on the fix. I do not have any faith, and I'm upset with this cat, fucking Joshua. I'm like, damn, brother, that's what you about to do? I ain't looking to the purse, but I'm like, damn, this is what we about to do. But again, and this is a theme from last week, I don't worry about other people's legacies no more. So, hey, do your thing. But I am prepared to be pissed off. So, boom, in the middle of rounds, Netflix say, hey, we got Dave Chappelle here. He's going to say something. So Dave Chappelle come on to the side just looking like he's just having a cigarette at the fucking boxing match. Does he be having a cigarette everywhere? He just coming through. He's like, hey, yo, it's your man. This is Dave Chappelle. What's up, y'all? Da-da-da-da-da. Hope y'all enjoying the fight. Listen, great fight, big night. You know what? I just felt like, fuck it. I'm dropping a special. It's coming on after this. I said, oh, shit. Okay, bet. Now I feel a little better because I'm like, if after the bullshit, I'm going to have like a palate cleanser. You know what I'm saying? For just fucking like being tight, eat shit. You know what I'm saying? But here we go. I'm like, all right, bet. Something to look forward to after the bullshit. Anyway, I think it's the fourth round. Maybe the fifth round. I don't think it goes any further than that. But, Anthony's starting to engage a little bit more, starting to heat up, you know, and Jake Paul can't really run as much anymore. He's still doing the diving and, you know what I mean, the fucking waist grabbing and shit has looked crazy. But anyway, he's starting to get at him. Boom, 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 boom. I think he might have got saved by the bell at one point. Joshua's starting to, like, he's in his zone now. He's in his zone. He's turning on. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Now I'm still, again, I'm trying to manage these expectations. It's like a fucking equalizer. Like, don't get too excited. This the trick is, you know, here we go with the bullshit. You know, because then the thing is, every time you fall, again, I'm looking for symbolism. I'm looking for illusions. I'm like, he came out with the Hogan shit on. You know, Hogan's whole thing used to be to hit the ground and his fucking, you know, the ref would raise his hand, you know, for the three times to call the match, if y'all remember. And then on that third time, he always hold his hand up in the air, get the point. And the people go crazy. Hogan, that's not out. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, Jake Paul might be, you know, he might be dragging it. So, boom, long story short, good amount of combinations start coming, you know. Anthony Joshua is starting to look like Anthony Joshua, that motherfucker. And he get Jake Paul in the corner, bing, 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 and then rock this nigga's jaw. And it was funny because Jake Paul was like, woo! He definitely did the Ric Flair, not the Hogan. He was like, woo! He looked like, oh, shit. Nigga, we did not practice that. But anyway, maybe that's how I felt, because again, I'm still thinking this is some bullshit, but that nigga could not get up. He was dazed and confused. Referees says, nah, it's a wrap. Ultimately, my man broke his jaw. He said that in the post fight. He's like, yo, my man broke my, I think my jaw's broke. Spit out a bunch of blood. You know, now he's playing that hand too, but jaw's broke. He got the little x-rays dropping like it's a fucking sonogram. But, yeah, Joshua rocked him. Boop. Walked over, you know, did the off with his head, you know, celebration. You know what I'm saying? Didn't really break a sweat. You know, did his quick post-fight interview, called out Tyson Fury. You know what I'm saying? If you want this smoke, come through. Let's get it. You know what I mean? You know, in a bloke accent. I can't really do it. I want the smoke. I can't do it. That was, I don't know where I was going with that, but you know how he sounds. You know, this motherfucker, by the time Jake Paul talking, Joshua is out in at the let out. This nigga's outside of the crowd taking pictures with the ladies and shit, like putting on this big ass chain. I think Logan tried to steal his chain. They was trying to say that was ridiculous. But he was chilling. He was ready to go to the after party. It was light work. It was light work to that man. And I was like, whew. You know, because I wasn't prepared to take another L. You know what I'm saying? Like I was in there, but I was just like, I'm glad justice has been served. Get this motherfucker out of here. You know. And it's the part of me, I'm like, now did he, again, I ain't look at the purse for either. Did he sacrifice his jaw just to make it, to give it some drama, to build, you know, because the thing is, I think Marvin Gaye said this shit. He was like, you know, life goes up and down. You know, life is up and down. And if it's a straight line, it's flat line. It's not interesting. Boop. You know, so there has to be some type of drama. Like, people been waiting for Jake Paul to, like, take an L, because it's like, dog, you're not accomplished. You're leveraging the accomplished fighters to you know, to build anticipation and excitement. And you are not a real fighter. Like, you ain't put in the work. You know, you hustle, you market, but you're not out there. These kids been fighting since they was like 8, 10 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, tragic backgrounds and all types of shit. You know, like, come on, bro. Anyway, so this part of me is like, is this just more scripting? Is this like a good arc? Who knows? I don't give a fuck. Anthony Joshua won. All is well. Shit feel good. Whew. Chappelle motherfucking special about to come on. I said, let's get it. So we watched the Chappelle special. The Chappelle special, what that shit said? The Unstoppable Nigga Act. Oh, shit. That's what we doing, nigga, with the R. G-G-E-R. Not nigga. Nigger. You know what I mean? It's the Nigga Act. So, boom, the Unstoppable Nigger. Like, damn, even my default is nigga. This is nigger. You know what I'm saying? This is the shit that you hear your grandparents say nigger. They saying nigger. And, you know, you the other motherfuckers say nigger. This is nigger. This is meant to. Anyway. That was the name of it. Obviously, Netflix has it as The Unstoppable, which is, you know, emphatic enough. But yeah, he come out with a fucking camo button down, I guess jersey, Kaepernick jersey. Got Kaepernick on the back, number 7 on the back, the Chappelle logo. You know, he gonna merch out. You know what I'm saying? The Chappelle logo everywhere. And he get right to it, you know? Like, This special, to me, was one of his best in a minute. You know, Dave has a standard. Like, he don't put out whack shit, but some are better than others, you know? And this one, I remember when he was actually shooting this. He shot this on October 10th. I remember that, 10-10. I remember it was right at the time when, you know, Trump just started sending the National Guard into D.C. And I saw that Dave Chappelle put up a, he said, yep, I'm doing a show. I want to say it's the, not the CNN. I don't know the name of the spot, but he's like, yo, I'm doing a show. It was last, you know, last minute. Dave could do that. Cause again, like Jake Paul, he could draw a crowd. He could say, yo dog, I'm about to do a show right after this conversation we having, and that should be packed. Anyway, he said, yeah, I'm about to go to DC. I'm like, oh, hell yeah. This is what we need. Cause the whole shit is in shambles. DC is being infiltrated. You know, it's being, you know, it's in danger. And one of their native sons, you know, young orator, you know what I'm saying? Young, you know, the man with the word coming through to talk that shit. Uncompromised ass motherfucker. You know, he came through with the clips. You know what I mean? Hip hop MVPs of 2025. I was like, damn, 10-10? I was like, shit. It was a part of me, I was like, I might want to go to that shit. But then there's another part of me, I was like, I don't know. Them niggas out here disappearing, motherfuckers. I ain't going to get caught up in some old out-of-town abduction, you know? Because I'm going to tell you something about out-of-town abduction. I don't have to be fucked up about it, but listen. Empathy comes with context. You know what I'm saying? Niggas here, nigga D got snatched. What happened? This nigga went out to D.C. same week they set the National Guard. For what? Because he wanted to see Chappelle. Where? Ah. I guess, I don't know about that. That was kind of... So he went... I hope that nigga get back. You know, anyway. But I saw it was a movie. I knew it was going to be a movie. Then I think later on you found out, or maybe even in that moment, it was like, yo, this is going to be the special. I was like, oh, this shit going to be special. You know, so yeah, it was great. It was great. I appreciate it. He pushed some buttons up front. You know, he definitely does his... damn near obligatory trans bit at this point. I feel like, honestly, I think that's just some, I was talking to, shout out to Chris Lambert. We was chopping it up about it. I think, you know, I always go back to Chappelle saying that when I step away from this, I want my son to know what a real comedian looks like. Right. And I think particularly the era that Dave is from, and just in tradition of comedy and good comedians go hard. They don't pull no punches. Everything's on the table, you know, like it's for the laugh. And, you know, yeah, motherfuckers is going to go hard. They ain't always, some of your favorites, or at least my favorites, they don't really play it safe. You know what I'm saying? We in here to have a laugh. That is the understanding. And again, I'm not for hate speech or any of that type of thing. But I think there's an art to being provocative in a way that makes people think, you know what I'm saying? And pushing boundaries, you know, especially since people throw up boundaries all the time. And no disrespect to nobody's boundaries. That's your boundary, you know, but you know, anyway. But like, I think that sometimes he does that it's an act of resistance. He's like, y'all not going to tell me what I'm going to talk about. You know what I mean? I'm going to talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about, for better or worse. You know what I mean? Cause this is my opportunity. This is my freedom. This is, you know, this is what I'm here for. I believe he spoke to that, you know, the, First Amendment, Second Amendment, just in case the, you know, all of that. So anyway. That and trans jokes, whatever. He had a couple of those. But more than that, like, I was looking at, like, the black capitalist shit. You know what I mean? I bought this. I'm buying out the whole city that I live in. You know? If it was the opposite way, they call that gentrification. But there's no term for what I'm doing to these people. That shit was funny. The fucking the Falcon joke with the Stevie Wonder callback way later. I think Chappelle is so great at fucking like setting a table and making things relevant, even things that are just like within internet conspiracy theory realm, like presenting it in a way to where it's not dismissive, because it's very easy to dismiss some shit that you just saw on the internet that might not be. It could just be some bullshit, but in the way of, this is how this relates to this, and this is what I'm going to use to set this up, but I'm keeping y'all all in. You know, so, you know, Nipsey Hussle, Dr. Sebi, documentary, that type of thing. You know, it was just, it was good. And obviously that closer, you know, that closer was crazy. And I don't want to step on the closer if you haven't seen it yet. I only seen it once. I'm going to definitely watch it again. But the way he closed that shit, come on. That was a, that he did the little bat flip with the mic and it was, it called for that. That's, that was, yeah, that was a walk-off home run. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Unstoppable nigga act. Fuck it. We out. You know what I'm saying? Bring, yeah, play fucking Inglorious Bastards. Let's get this shit rocking. It was good. It was really good. I'm going to watch it again at some point. It was good as shit. I enjoyed it. Let me know what y'all thought. Did you fuck with it? You know, do you, I ain't even getting into the ranking of it, but do you feel like of the most recent Chappelle specials, let's just put it in amongst Chappelle specials, where does it rank for you? What was some of your favorite shit? You know, all of that. What else is going on? Nicki Minaj has me baffled. Has me baffled, y'all. I've been kind of peeping this for a little while. You know, there's been progressive levels of foolery and just weird things to be concerned about or to turn your head to. They've been ramping up and ramping up and ramping up. Now, I'm not a barb, you know, but I do like Nicki Minaj. I've always thought Nicki Minaj was a talented rapper. I think she's the best of her generation, just in as far as output goes. When she's on, when she's in the zone, it's a problem. There's others that are great too, but like for being as good as she can be for as long as she has been, it's like, yeah, she's one of them, you know. And I never really gave her no flack on being kind of cold to the other women rappers in the game, because nobody really get mad at Hov for not fucking with his cohorts. Hov barely fuck with niggas now. You know what I mean? He barely rap. You know what I'm saying? But that's just, you know, as fellas, we could get away with being competitive in a competitive market. It's not a problem. Nobody trying to throw no kumbaya shit on us. It is just what it is. So I never, this is hip hop, you know, like, look, everybody can, motherfuckers could take your head off right after just giving you a pound. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just the fucking arena of it all. Still, it can still get a little spooky. So with that said, be on point, be diligent, you know, and if you got to give motherfuckers the cold shoulder, then give the motherfuckers the cold shoulder, you know, if you, you know. So I never really threw that at her. I never was like held that against her. But I, you know, looking over the, you know, over a while, the Twitter's been getting real erratic and bugged out. And then these little, in like these little back and forths or moments of amplifying MAGA rhetoric. Bigging up Trump, bigging up J.D. Vance. I was like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? Like, yo, she's tanking right now. You know, it's like, what's going on? You know, niggas be tanking in the NBA. You know, like the Sixers. Trust the process. But I'm like, what's the process here? What are you doing? You know, comedians like to do that sometimes. Some comedians get a kick out of it. They be like, yo, I'm a bomb for a while. So I dig a hole, I'm going to kill these motherfuckers in the last 20 minutes of the set. But I'm a bomb. I'm going to do some things that's going off. It's going to be off-putting, but I'm going to get them back. So there's a part of me that, like, a part of me that's like, maybe there's a method to this madness. Maybe, but I don't think so. But this shit, this madness is crazy. And she's not crazy, you know. I mean, they got all types of speculation or whatever that might power some of this type of weird behavior. I don't get into any of that. But I'm like, yo, what is going on? She's bugging. I think it was at the UN when she gave some speech. I didn't engage with that. I'm like, I don't even need to see this. It looks crazy. I don't even need to see this. I don't want to see this. Some of this shit is, sometimes I just don't want to see it. Again, listen, your legacy is your legacy to do what with, but sometimes I'm going to turn the channel. Sometimes all I need to see is a peek of the car crash, and I got to keep it moving, because then after a while, I don't want that shit to get on me. You know what I mean? Energy. I got to keep my eyes straight, get the fuck out of here, go straight, you know. Then I see she went to the Turning Point jam. You know what I'm saying? Like, turn up this, the Turning Point jam. Boy, speaking of a Turning Point, they done went from, yo, don't you say nothing bad about Charlie, to now they got a booth. A photo booth that recreates the assassination site. The fuck is going on, dog? This shit crazy. Then you got his widow who out here on tour, and somehow fucking there's an intimate conversation between Erica Kirk and Nicki Minaj. I don't know how this shit happened. I didn't watch this shit. I seen a couple clips. I saw the clip where she's saying black women shouldn't make white women feel bad. I don't even want to paraphrase that shit. That was crazy. But this was crazy, and this is the part where I'm like, again, holding out hope. Maybe this is a long con. Maybe this is a serious, deep, dark troll job. Because for her to be face to face with Erica Kirk and be like, yo, JD Vance is an assassin, I was like, yo, wait a minute, maybe this is some trolling. Maybe this is some Andy Kaufman shit that we gonna get when the book come out later on, y'all. Come on now, nigga. I'm from Queens. I ain't gonna go out like that, Blase Skip. You know what I'm saying? I'm Trini. You know, all of that shit. Hopefully. But I don't know, but that shit was crazy. And she caught herself. And again, I don't know if this is performing. You know, she went to LaGuardia. I don't know if this is performing, but she was like, oh, shit, I can't believe I said that. You know, that was like, no, don't worry about it. Because that grief, it felt like that grief didn't really stick. I'm saying? She outside. You know what I mean? Like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Rainbow after the rain. Anyway, I don't know what the fuck is going on. It's crazy. I really don't know what's going on. I'm starting to see people saying that she got money in trouble. I think she's trying to get it. I don't know. She's trying to get a pardon for her husband. Whatever. That, you know, shit that would, it would be kind of whack integrity wise, but maybe it would line up. At this point, I'm like, yo, I don't get it. This shit is crazy. And the fans are going. And, you know, she has some of the most diehard fans, second to probably the Beehive. I think her fans are more diehard than the Navy. You know what I mean? Or whomever. I don't know. I mean, what's the Taylor gang? What's her people called? I don't know. But you know Taylor Swift's, the Swifties. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the hierarchy of obsessive fans are. But either way, she's very close to the top of that pyramid. But then motherfuckers is walking out. Like, yo, what's going on? What is going on? And there's a part of me that's looking through, like, I got my fingers over my eyes, but I got my one eye open. I'm kind of seeing, like, is she going to turn this shit around? Or is this a bomb? Stay tuned. I was watching this movie. Earlier this week, called Straw Dogs, with Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman is the lead. I'll try to find out his co-lead, is the woman that plays his wife. It's a movie that came out in 1971. It's called Straw Dogs, and I was watching a Criterion Closet video. Somebody recommended it, so I was like, let me go check this shit out. I fuck with Dustin Hoffman. I think Dustin Hoffman is one of the greats. I don't know if people say it enough, you know, maybe because, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like he's done anything in a while to where his name would be back into the conversation or whatever. But like, It's directed by Sam Peckinpah. And is the woman's name Susan George? That's interesting. The two first names and shit. I think that's her. Yo, it's crazy. When I go to Wikipedia and then Wikipedia got that whole big ass thing to say, yo, Wikipedia needs some money. And I'd be scrolling right past that shit. Like, good look at that Wikipedia. Stay free. Susan George. It's Dustin Hoffman and Susan George. So basically the premise of the movie is Dustin Hoffman is like some kind of like brainiac mathematician, you know, like in the sense of when you watch like Good Will Hunting. Remember when Matt Damon was walking by and he seen the formula, the big ass formula that took up the whole chalkboard, and he could look at that shit from just at a glance and be like, oh yeah, you gotta add the 4 and put the P over the X and you get 32. You know what I mean? But one of those convoluted ass formulas. He one of them cats. This is the 70s, so he got a full on blackboard and he's doing the thing. And he moved there. He's an American, but he moved out to England with his lady, with his wife, who I think she might be from out there. So they bought like a cottage or something. Like, you know how they be buying a cottage. Just give them some money and give them buy a cottage. But the cottage is in repair. Like they still putting a roof on the barn or whatever. So they got some local cats that are putting a roof on the barn. The local cats is some real feral dudes. You know what I'm saying? About 5 dudes that they just drink beer. They fixing the putting the shingles on, taking forever to put the shingles on. They just kicking it on the roof, having a good time. Low key, not even low key, laughing at my man, you know, because they see him as a bit of a like an egghead, you know what I'm saying? And he's out the country. So they looking at him like old smart Yankee, you know? And, you know, Dustin's wife, she all right, you know what I mean? So they looking at her like they looking up and down. You know, it's like construction. It's like the old school construction site, but it's a cottage on the roof. So that's the energy that's going on. But Dustin is so like in these formulas that he don't really see it. His lady's starting to feel a little neglected. She's like, yo, you know, let's, you know what I mean? They got a cottage in fucking England. That's where you're supposed to do all your canoodling. That's where canoodling is at its best. It's hard to canoodle in a tenement. I mean, you could do it. It gets done, trust me. But a good cottage canoodle is like high-level canoodling. So anyway, she want to get a canoodle and intertwine, but he's so like, he got to solve this. You know what I'm saying? The weight of the world is on his shoulders. So he's so deep into all of this shit that he doesn't see everything that's going around. And I said, these are some feral motherfuckers. And things start to like get a little treacherous, you know, like they start to get a little treacherous. And I don't want to step on too much. But what I will tell you is I turned that shit off initially because it was boring as fuck for the first about 30 minutes. That shit was terrible. I fell asleep. But half was not just because of the movie, but also I guess I'm at that age now. I'll just fall asleep if I eat good and I'm on that couch and I'm that guy now. I'm my grandfather. I could fall right asleep. So anyway, I turned it off and I was actually going to be like, nah, this shit trash. But something, I said, nah, not Dustin. Dustin ain't going to be. And then the people that were saying, nah, it's good. So I said, let me watch it again. Came back yesterday. You know, after I did whatever I had to do, I had good energy. I said, let me turn it back on. I turn it on. And sure enough, probably within the next 10, 15 minutes, you know, the plot starts to thicken, starts to coagulate. This plot gets crazy. So some shit happened. Quite a few things happened. And it got me so upset. I'm like yelling at the TV on some Kai Cenat shit. I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, I'm fucking cursing out Dustin Hoffman, man. He like, to me, he's going out like such a fucking sucker. I'm like, nah, fam, I can't fucking believe this. I am black and I'm sick. But that's good writing. That's a good performance when you hate the character. Like, you like, I can't fucking stand this person. That's good acting. I'm like, the decisions you making, nah, but I'm invested. I'm like, what? And then, shit hits the fan. Dustin is mad stubborn. I'm thinking, but like, ain't nothing worse than like a stubborn sucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, they try to be righteous, but they on some real coward shit. You know what I mean? I don't know if you ever see that shit. They be like, oh, you ain't gonna do that because, you know, that ain't the right thing to do. It's like, nigga, the motherfucker just punched you in your face. What the fuck is you talking about? Oh, it just ain't the right thing to do. Now you contemplating, like, am I bugging? Am I immoral? Am I, like, you know, nah. Anyway, it's a lot of that type of tension. And, you know, it's just... being pushed around, all this crazy shit. And in one moment, Dustin said, you know what? This motherfucker straightened his glasses. Uh-oh. Shit changed. He done straightened his spectacles and shit. And, man, it took a fucking turn. And I won't tell you no more. That shit took a turn. I was like, okay. Like, that shit was better than the Jake Paul shit. That shit was good than a motherfucker. I was like, all right. It finished up strong. It started out slow as a motherfucker, but it finished up slow, finished up strong. And I was like, okay, I bet. I'm happy I saw it. It's disturbing, too. There's some disturbing shit. It's from the 70s. This is back when movies used to get disturbing. You know, a lot of shit could go down in these type of movies. This is before Safe Spaces. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers was going to the movie theaters naked with a Inspector Gadget jacket on. You know what I mean? This is those days. This is before AIDS was a thing. You know what I mean? Everybody, you know. Motherfuckers was sharing needles and shit. Listen to me. I sound like I was there. All I'm saying is, yeah, it gets some of these themes are disturbing. Some of these themes today, that should be a crazy trigger warning. It ain't for fucking smoking and whatever. Weird, you know, whatever the fuck. Harsh language. No, it gets a little crazy, a little hairy. But yeah, it's worthy of watching because it's one of the movies that, well, I'm like, first of all, the shit came out in 71. So, like, I've got to Google reviews to see what the people think. And it was mixed. Some people did not fuck with it. A lot of people didn't fuck. I don't think Roger Ebert liked it at all, you know. But it's one of those movies where you want to talk to somebody about it. But again, this shit came out in 71, so it's not even something that is in the zeitgeist, you know, like where you call somebody. It's not like Sinners or One Battle After Another where everybody's seen that. You can have that conversation. This is, I want to talk to somebody. That's what I'm telling y'all about. The shit is good. If you do venture out and find this shit somewhere, you watch it, please jump in the comments and let's have a conversation about that shit. It's worth checking out for sure. It's worth checking out. Yeah. What else? I think that's about it, man. I made my own chicken stock. I just made some chicken stock for the first time recently. I mean, this is, I didn't need to tell you that, but I'm telling you, made some chicken stock. I never made chicken stock. I always, you know, I like to cook a little bit, but, and I would always, you know, I watch a lot of little cooking shows and things like that. And people are like, oh yeah, save the bones for stock. I'm like, I'm saving bones for stock. Come on, bro. I'm not doing that. But I was talking to a friend of mine and she was like, yeah, I made my own stock, made some stock. And I was like, you make stock? She's like, yeah. She said, that shit is a game changer. That's one of those words. It's one of them little transformative fucking words. When I hear game, you know, I hear game changer, it piques my interest. I'm like, uh-oh, now I want to change the game. You know what I mean? Let me see what's what. So I made some stock. And that shit was, you know, it's one of those things where you got to sit that shit on the stove for like hours and let that shit infuse and, you know, do whatever it needs to do. And, you know, and fucking, then you gotta strain the little bits and all of that shit and get yourself a little stock. I haven't used it yet. I froze it. I haven't used it yet, but I'm excited. I'm excited to make some rice or some shit. You know, some shit that's stock related. I just want to see if I can taste the chicken in it. And it's still just, it's basically chicken water. But I want to see how strong this stock is. I want my game to be changed. You know, because I buy stock. And the thing about buying stock is, you know, buying chicken stock or vegetable stock, not buying stock, y'all respect the market, buy stock, ETFs, all of that shit. But buying chicken stock, it's like, for me, I live by myself, right? Y'all know this. So you buy a stock, you can't even, you got to, it's like 32 ounces. And I'm using like a cup of stock for a recipe and then that shit just goes bad in my refrigerator. I have started to like freeze it or whatever as of late. You know, but like, I was like, you know what? Let me see if I can make a stock better than the stock that I buy. Because the stock that I buy, I taste it, it's fine. But I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get on some, Like, ultimately, I would love to be able to, ideally, I would love to have a spot where I could grow vegetables and, you know, like, just kind of cut out some of the middleman. You know, like, all of the, especially now with the government doing whatever the fuck they want to do. You know what I'm saying? Trump and Kennedy Center, Memorial Center. Get the, it's a memorial, fam. What are you talking about? And anyway, I don't want all of that pestering in my shit out. You know what I'm saying? All that shit spraying on the shit. You don't know what you're getting. I like stuff where the ingredients is this, this, and this. Instead of all of the long-ass words or whatever the fuck. So, yeah, that's what it is. I haven't made it yet. I ain't made it. If I do something and it sounds fly, I might report back. That's about it, man. Christmas is tomorrow. I hope y'all going to have a good one. If you celebrate Christmas, you know what I mean? If you celebrate, you know, Kwanzaa, you celebrate Hanukkah, you don't celebrate at all, I just hope you have a good Thursday. But, you know, hopefully, you know, y'all, you enjoy the day. You know what I mean? And that is it. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to those that celebrate. Happy Thursday to the rest of y'all. And shit, I will see y'all next week. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy. In the conversation. Also, don't forget, Eastville Comedy Club, December 27th, Saturday, December 27th, 8 p.m. I'm doing an hour out there. It's going to be, shit, it's probably the last hour I'm doing for 2025. We're going to have a good time. We're going to bug out. I got Ayanna Dookie hosting. I got my man Chris Lamberth, the Don of the DMV, featuring. It's going to be a good time. Come out. Tickets are still available. Eastville Comedy Club, Brooklyn, New York, Saturday, 8 p.m. Peace. Good morning, it's 6 a.m.